A Wisconsin family is calling for a woman's release from ICE after she was taken into custody last week. It's Friday, March 20th. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Courtney Everett. Cesar Chavez Day events planned for later this month in Wisconsin are being canceled following a New York Times investigation. And a preview of Inside Wisconsin Politics, the new show from WPR and PBS Wisconsin.
Feels a little strange when getting Democratic votes on a Republican bill or Republican votes on a Democratic bill is a big deal.
Stay with us.
Hi there, it's Rachel Martin from NPR News. I am proud to work with stations around the country, including WPR, to bring you news that you can trust. We search out the backstory, give voice to the diversity of our nation, question along with you, and share moments of beauty, moments of joy. This comprehensive reporting is possible thanks to listener contributions. Be a part of this important work when you give at WPR.org. Thanks.
The family of a Sheboygan Falls mom taken into ICE custody last week after winning her green card is calling for her immediate release. As Steph Conquest Ware reports, Elvira Benitez Suarez's husband and three of her children spoke at a press conference yesterday in Milwaukee.
On March 10th, immigration officers handcuffed and shackled Benitez Suarez during a routine immigration check-in. She was taken to Chicago, then Indiana, and now resides at the Campbell County Detention Center in Kentucky. Her family spoke at an event hosted by the nonprofit Voces de la Frontera. 12-year-old Natalie Chavez says her mom always helped her with her panic attacks. Now, she says she has to rely on herself.
My mom is not incredible. She does a lot of good things. She helps us. She helps community. She helps her church. She helps others.
The family's lawyer appealed the case earlier this week, but the average wait time is around 18 months. Steph Conquest Ware, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Republican leader of the Wisconsin Senate will not seek re-election this year. The news from Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahue comes just weeks after GOP Assembly Speaker Robin Voss announced his own retirement. Lemahue was first elected to the Senate in 2014. He's been majority leader since 2021. He oversaw lopsided Republican majorities that shrank last year under new, more competitive voting maps. Lemahue's own seat is likely to stay in Republican hands. An analysis by Marquette University Law School found President Donald Trump carried the district by about 16 points in 2024. A portion of a Washington County road could soon be renamed in honor of the late Charlie Kirk. Evan Casey has more.
The 31-year-old activist and leader of Turning Point USA was killed last year during a speaking event in Utah. This week, the Washington County Executive Committee approved a resolution to rename a portion of a road Charlie J. Kirk Way. The full county board could vote on that next month. The committee's vote came after residents opposed to the measure packed the meeting room to voice their concerns. West Bend resident Jeffrey Rickaby, a libertarian, says he was surprised when he saw the resolution.
Why do we need a county road in honor of Charlie Kirk? He has no ties to the area.
Modifying signs along the road could cost an estimated $50,000. But county executive Josh Showman says donations could cover that cost. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Cesar Chavez Day events planned for later this month in Wisconsin are being canceled, postponed, or renamed. Changes come after sexual abuse allegations about the famed labor leader surfaced this week. A New York Times investigation revealed several women reported Chavez sexually abused them for years when they were girls and he was in his 40s. At the time, Chavez had become a global champion of farmers' rights. He died in 1993 at the age of 66. Milwaukee Alder Jocasta Zamarripa represents Milwaukee's South Side, which includes Cesar Chavez Drive. She says officials are discussing whether the road should be renamed.
I'm eager to convene with stakeholders in our community and looking forward to having that conversation. I want to listen before we make any unilateral decision.
She was planning a celebration at City Hall for Chavez's birthday later this month. That event has been canceled. Microsoft will no longer use non-disclosure agreements with local governments in developing data centers. As Jill Schultz reports, the company says the move is aimed at improving trust.
Microsoft previously used non-disclosure agreements, or NDAs, during the early stages of data center development. The company says it did so to protect sensitive commercial information. NDAs are fairly common in data center development. At least 5 communities have signed NDAs related to potential data centers. That's according to Wisconsin Watch. Kenosha signed a non-disclosure agreement with Microsoft in 2024. Bill Leaders is with the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council.
Communities don't like it when they find out that their public officials are meeting secretly with representatives of companies to change the character of their communities.
Microsoft says it's working to reach out to local governments to terminate active NDAs. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, a preview of Inside Wisconsin Politics. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
We've got something exciting for you this morning, a preview of Inside Wisconsin Politics. WPR and PBS Wisconsin's new Politics Roundtable brings together our statehouse reporters for a weekly conversation, recapping what happened, what it means, and why it matters. In the first episode, WPR Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson, Capitol reporter Anya Van Wagtendonk, political reporter Rich Kramer, and PBS Wisconsin senior political reporter Zach Schultz dig into the recently wrapped state Senate session and more legislative retirements that could signal the end of a political era in Wisconsin.
So we were all set to talk about how this session of the Wisconsin Senate was different than previous sessions. And the Senate gave us lots to talk about, including, as we're getting ready to record, news that the Senate Majority Leader, Devin Lemahue, is not going to seek re-election, which in the world of the state capitol, as you all know, that is a pretty big deal. Zach, what can we take from that, given the way that the Senate has been acting this week, and how big a deal is it in the Capitol?
Well, it certainly felt like a week of voting where people weren't worried about the next election or the next term. There were questions of whether that signaled Lemahue knew that his majority position was at stake, as Republicans are worried about having the Dems flip the Senate. But I think the bigger picture to look here is we're going to have a new majority leader in the Senate, a new speaker in the Assembly, and a new governor. And the last time that happened was 2011 with Scott Walker and the Fitzes running the show. Big changes that time. We might see big changes next session, too.
A wave election. And there's people, of course, every election is nationalized right now. And there have already been people talking about whether this would be a nationalized Democratic election. Anya, you know that Capitol building and you know how much sway leaders carry. How big of a deal is it to you that Devin Lemahue, the leader that you've covered in that Senate since you've been here, is stepping down?
Yeah, I mean, as Zach said, the session, the voting session only a few days ago, was that 2 days ago? I've lost track of time this week. There were a few bills that came forward where there was a real question of whether Devin would let them get to the floor because he did not have Republican votes. And so there were kind of threats being floated about what that would mean for his leadership position. And those bills passed with necessary Democratic votes in order to pass. And so then him stepping down, it really is this kind of signal that he, whatever kind of consequences might have come in the caucus, he doesn't have to worry about them anymore.
And Rich, you were covering the session this week, and that question of whether or not to get Democratic votes is something that everyone was talking about. And, you know, the Senator Lemahue even had some kind of not so veiled threats thrown out from a member of his own caucus. Don't do that, basically. How unusual was this session week in terms of bipartisanship, frankly?
It was pretty unusual. I mean, to me, someone who's pretty new at covering state politics, it feels a little strange when getting Democratic votes on a Republican bill or Republican votes on a Democratic bill is a big deal. It seems like that would be normal, but that's not the case. And that was more of a sign of what you all have been talking about, that things are changing there. It feels like things are changing in the Senate. They used to have a supermajority not that long ago. Then we got new maps after the Wisconsin Supreme Court's liberal majority struck down ones that were drawn by Republicans back in 2011. And then we had an election under those maps. So that supermajority went down to 18 Republican senators. And that threat goes to this thing called the Rule of 17. It's an informal rule, but the idea is that if you're in the majority, you pass bills with majority support. You don't even really consider them if you don't have those 17 votes. But we saw examples where Demon Lemahieu went ahead and passed them anyway with Democratic support.
That was a preview of Inside Wisconsin Politics. You can hear the rest of the first episode and follow the show at WPR.org, PBSWisconsin.org, on YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. And now let's take a look at the forecast for the weekend. Today, expect partly sunny and mild, with highs expected to hover around 50 degrees across the state. And then tonight, partly cloudy south, and then mostly cloudy north with a small chance of drizzle. Lows will likely stay around 30 degrees. And then for Saturday, drizzle possible early in the far northeast, and then warm with a mixture of sunshine and clouds. Expect warmer temperatures as they reach 50s north and mid-60s south. And then Sunday, isolated light showers are possible early. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm Courtney Everett. Our producer today was Sean Johnson. We'll talk to you again next week.